The 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
All right, everyone, this is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to our good sponsor, the Old Fort Baseball Company, for making this podcast possible. And of course, subscribe, rate, and review Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing and scroll on down. If you're on Apple, click write a review and let us know what you are thinking. Big episode today. Very excited to finally get this one. Someone I've been trying to catch up with for years, but he is much like my buddy Will Corson Carr, who I caught up with last week. This guy's even more busy, so it's harder to even keep up with this guy, but been keeping tabs on him, played against him in high school, played basketball with him even before that in middle school. So I go way back with this man, but he is doing great things in the game of baseball, continues to be a great man. We are talking with the one and only Jared Parker. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Obviously, like you said, you've been trying to track me down. I'm a little bit of a international man of mystery. I keep the low profile and, you know, put my head down and just go to work. So glad you could make some time.
You should definitely change your ad name to Austin Powers. For sure.
Long lost cousin.
Super hard to keep up with you, man. So let's start there, man. What is Jared Parker doing today?
Yeah, I mean, currently I'm in my second year back on the pro side working with the Phillies. Last year I was just a complex pitching coach, and then this year they gave me a little promotion. I'm a pitching rehab coordinator. So I help kind of a dual title. I do some stuff on the field with the complex league pitchers, and then I help out with our rehab throwers and position players.
So do you know Justin Munson?
I know Justin Munson very well.
Ah, yeah. A good friend of the show as well. Had him on. So explain exactly how this all works out. So he's a scout. So what are the differences in your guys' jobs with the Phillies?
So yeah, Justin's more of like, he's going to go out, scout talent, more talent acquisition. And then obviously, like for me, working with complex players, a lot of those are Latin American. So they're coming from international sign. Justin does a lot of stuff with the draft. And then, like I said, with the rehab coordinator side, I'm working with a lot of the players that are hurt or coming back off injuries. So we will run into each other two or three times a year at the complex and catch up, and we'll shoot videos back and forth. The guys, hey, take a look at this guy. What do you think? You know, have you heard anything good, bad, ugly? So, you know, it's always good when organizations are, you know, integrated and working fluidly together.
It's cool that the Fort Wayne Phillies love Fort Wayne so much. Apparently they love the city of Fort Wayne and people surrounded, bringing them in for baseball. So how did that gig come about? I know, you know, before we even get into the baseball stuff, how'd you even get in with the Phillies to begin with?
Yeah, so when I retired in 16, I kind of disappeared a little bit, did my own thing in Nashville, was working with the Nashville Stars group. I had my own facility. It was just kind of low-key, laid back, kind of recovering and you know, reestablishing my love for the game after a tough ending. But, you know, I reached out to Preston Mattingly. I kind of shot my shot with Dave Dombrowski, kind of just like went up the chain and went up the ladder. I was like, hey, man, I'm looking to get back in pro ball. And at the time it was in the spring and obviously nothing's really moving. And then, you know, got a couple interviews in the fall and, you know, they had some spots for me to come on and, you know, hopefully can stay around and keep, you know, producing guys that are moving up through the chain and helping out the organizational depth.
Oh, I love that, man. So like you mentioned that you were kind of, you know, trying to get back into it and you had a little time off, I'm assuming, to get away and kind of reassess things. So like us here, like obviously we're on the outside looking in, and obviously, you know, we look at you here as like, you know, the role model. You're a guy that, I mean, went very far coming from, you know, Fort Wayne area. I know you're from Ossian, but you know, you came from this area and you went on to do big things. So like, how long was that process for you to understand like, all right, this may be over for me, but like, what's next? How long was that process for you?
I mean, yeah, like following the injuries, I wanted to kind of work back into baseball, but I wasn't sure how. And, I knew I was kind of like needed to take a break from the pro side and just the busy aspect of it. So I, like I said, I did my own thing with the indoor facility and some other groups and teams. And then, I just kind of got to the point where I needed that like competitive, and like, I felt like I had a lot to give back to, obviously like nothing against youth, but I feel like I had a lot to give back to the pro side, and it became like, I want to give, advanced instruction. Like I want to talk, all the kinds of stuff that these guys are going through and help to, basically give back everything that I was given and more. And, I think every time I talk to a player, I'm like, man, I want you to play for 15, 10, 20 years, whatever it is. I want it more than what I had. So like, I think that's something that the players really do respect, is just that, like, I, kind of shed my ego for that time once I retired and did my own thing. I knew once that was kind of gone, and I, kind of gathered my tools back again and went back to work with the Phillies, and, I got a great opportunity.
To have some fun with you, man. Another career you could have went and could have been in the NBA. I mean, I think people sleep, but I remember Jared Parker as a point guard for the Miami Heat and Powell Basketball League. That's the Jared Parker I remember. So
Yeah.
did the NBA ever come in your mind?
No, man. Once I think I started throwing 94, 95, it was a pretty clear view of where my future was. And not many 6'1" point guards running around right now. But that was my first love. I hooped nonstop, like summer, fall. Every time I pick up a basketball, I mean, I tell people, like, they're like, you ever hurt yourself? It's like, yeah, I hurt myself trying to dunk after practice for 2 or 3 hours every day. And it's like, those are the kind of things that, you fall in love in Indiana just playing basketball, and the competition's so good. I grow up playing against Mike Conley, Greg Oden, all those guys going down, coming to Spies. Like, it was a real deal. So I think, like, once I kind of, the picture got a little clearer for me, that decision became easy. I mean, I love basketball still to this day.
Yeah, I definitely could not bring you on without bringing that up, because I'm sure it's a long time ago, so you don't remember any of this. But so my dad was our coach too when the year we won the championship. So that was always going to be, and you were our point guard. We always passed Jared the ball. For everyone that's listening, he was the guy that we like. Look, we need a basket. We're just going to Jared, bro. Just throw him the ball at the wing and let him get to the basket. So definitely fun times there. I just wanted people to be aware this man can ball as well. So obviously that was the last I seen you until high school. So you graduated in, I think, 07, and then I was 09. So I did get to play you your senior year. Unfortunately for us, I had to play you my senior year. So like, when did you, I gotta know, when did you start realizing, look, I'm throwing 90 something miles an hour? Like, when did that really kick in for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was always a, good, like you said, a good athlete, and just like, I played all over the diamond, and I caught, pitched, played outfield, shortstop. But it was like, that freshman summer into the sophomore year, I really started taking pitching seriously. I wasn't playing football. I was 3, 4 times a week long. I mean, my dad would empty a bucket of balls. I'd throw them as far as I could. He'd catch it, throw it in the bucket, catch it, throw it in the bucket. So I really just started training more towards, pitching. And I mean, I hit 3, 4 times a week too, but started doing some pitching lessons with Mark De La Garza and got connected, kind of going through the pitching training aspect of things, med balls, and just ultimately, like, kind of started to train towards pitching. And then just kind of worked out where I was playing and pitching at the same time. And scouts weren't there to watch me play outfield. They wanted to see me on the mound.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to mention that too, because back when we were in school, travel ball was different. Like back then, people like you were the people that played travel ball, right? And people like me were playing rec league. Okay. So like obviously that landscape has changed, right?
Yeah.
So like, is that something that you still pay any attention to? Because I know the sluggers were very monumental to your growth.
Yeah, I mean, I still follow with Sluggers and talk to Mark all the time. Obviously, like, I had a couple teams in Nashville as well, and that was the first time that I actually, like, I learned what a PO was. I thought, like, a PO, oh, it's like a put out, a pop out, but no, it's like a dude that just pitches only. And I'm like, no, our team is not having dudes that just come into the dugout and pitch only. So we really did try to bring it back a little bit where guys were, they were being athletic. And also, like, I mean, the guys that did just pitch for us, they knew they had their work cut out for them when they weren't pitching. It was kind of like, Mark put us through workouts during the games. You guys are going to throw med balls and run during the games. Like, so we tried to make it towards that, try to not necessarily to get so specialized, which is hard. It's a hard battle, but guys, they bought in. We had a couple guys that ended up, one pitcher at Stanford, a couple kids at a kid at Bucknell, Lipscomb.
Wow.
We were getting them into some places and spots where they could go be successful. So that was my exposure to the summer ball and travel circuit. We had 17-year-old team, 14s, 11s. So, I'm at my facility, I did turn down some like under 10-year-old kids for lessons in summer ball because I'm like, man, just roll the ball out there, go play, be an athlete, play other sports. We're not gonna train baseball at 10 in December. I'm sorry.
So definitely sounds like you are on my side. When I always say anything under, honestly, than like 13, 14, you was too young, in my opinion. Even as you're going into like middle school, like late middle school, like 8th grade, I think. So like 13, 14, that's my opinion on it. So it definitely sounds like you're in that same thing. So like I do also, because like this is something I haven't got to ask you either. So like, while you're striking us all out at Norwell, I mean, I gotta know how that, we gotta travel back, man. That moment you found out, I mean, you had to know that you were getting drafted because you were drafted in the top 10. So like, how was that moment for you, man? Catch us all up here in Indiana. Recap that moment for you when you found out, man, you're gonna be a Diamondback.
Yeah, I mean that summer before I kind of as a junior, put myself on the map. A couple big performances at East Cobb and WBA and some of the big events. And I was 94, 95. Went to area codes, did all that stuff, and just kind of kept doing what I was doing. And I was fortunate, got around a lot of great guys at Norwell that they worked their butts off in the weight room. I mean, those guys train like football players. They're farm boys and they push weight. So, I went from being a pretty skinny little kid to like kind of putting myself together. And there was a couple scouts in town and some off-season workouts. And you never really like know how hard you're throwing back then because it wasn't so much tech and there's not track mans everywhere. So my first start against I think it was Northside, my dad was back there. It was raining, sleeting, whatever. Kelby Wabright says you're gonna go 3 innings. Like, all right, cool. So struck out 9. Like, they cheered when they fouled the ball off. And then after the game, I look at my dad and he goes like this and like 8 fingers. And I go, dang, 88 today? He goes, 98. So it went from being 14 scouts there to next start, there was 35 scouts. And that's kind of the whole, I pitched my whole senior year with 30 plus scouts at the games. And, I just kind of kept showing up and putting in the work. Like I said, I was one of those guys who put my head down and, never really read into stuff or bought into it because, had a fortunate to have an older brother, and my dad kind of put a good perspective in my head of like, what it takes and what it's going to be like. So I was really fortunate to have them, coach and mentor me through how to navigate that situation.
Yeah, it's definitely monumental to have that kind of guidance going through that process because you did something back then that was very rare, which was going to, being drafted straight out of high school, which happens all the time now, but back then it was different. So you come back and you pitch in Fort Wayne, I believe, against the Fort Wayne Wizards as a minor leaguer with the South Bend Silverhawks, which is now the Cubs. Recap that moment. It had to feel good to come back to the area for that game.
Yeah, I mean that was a great year. I like another fortunate moment in my career where I'm pitching 2 hours away from home in my first pro ball season, where every start was somewhat comfortable. I'm not out of the Midwest, and obviously coming back to Fort Wayne was going to be big. And like I think somebody tweeted a while ago that it was the last start at the old Memorial Coliseum. It was that concrete box, and I think we kind of put it to the then Wizards. But yeah, 10 caps now. But so yeah, I mean, it was exciting. Every like I said, every start at South Bend or Fort Wayne I made felt like a home game, and it was real comfortable to come back and be able to do that as an 18, 19 year old.
Yeah, so today with the Phillies, to highlight some of the things, we talked about all your accolades that you got to do, throughout your high school career and getting drafted and all that. So what are some, milestones that you've accomplished, at the major league ranks?
As a player or as a,
Either. What are some of
employee?
your
Yeah.
favorite
I
as a
mean,
player and as, in your new role with the Phillies?
as a player, obviously, like for me, I love to win. We went to second place in the Midwest League as a A baller. We won a double A championship. I was a part of the NL West Diamondbacks. I just, they call it playoff dust. So I always had a little playoff dust in my bag that I got to be around some, bottles of champagne and celebrating at the end of the year when the real
Hey.
balls played. So that was for me, all those playoff outings, being a part of great teams and, being around, obviously having most of my minor league and prospect status with the Diamondbacks, I was always super comfortable. And then being traded, I got a real good opportunity to, get out there. It wasn't pressure, but it was pressure as we started to win. So like it was, I was playing with house money in Oakland. And then obviously, on the staff side, on the other side of the game, for me, I mean, it's an accolade every time a guy gets promoted, at this level. It's like, hey, another pitcher, another guy's getting promoted, another guy's getting promoted, or hey, this guy's coming out of rehab healthy, he's throwing harder, he's better, he's in better shape. So just the little chips you stack as a field staff member, and those are the kind of things that you take home every day of like, you don't necessarily see it on paper, but it comes out, and it's how you build your coach accolade kit a little bit.
So you got a chance to win some brownie points with the Phillies organization, even more than you already do. People can't see us because this is audio only, but like I'm wearing my Mariners hat, I had to represent. But the Phillies are obviously on the other side of the bracket, so we'll see how everything goes. But realistically, this Phillies team that, I mean, hasn't been talked about a lot. I feel like they really haven't been talked about a lot by the analysts. What is the sky the limit for this team going into the postseason? What are some expectations from you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the expectations are always extremely high in Philly, just as this team's been assembled, Dave puts together, dream teams everywhere he goes. Obviously a pretty big hit for us to lose Wheeler coming down the stretch, but I mean, you have some solid starters, and if when we're hot hitting, it's like you can beat teams 10-7 and not even blink an eye. So I think for the Phillies to do it, and get hot at the end of the year, that's really what it takes. They lulled some people to sleep in June and July, but they're hot when it matters.
That's good. We'll see. I mean, the National League is a lot tougher than the American League. So there's some, you got those Dodgers out there.
I
So
know.
be ready. Be ready for that. So did what team were you a fan of growing up?
I was a White Sox fan
Oh.
growing up. Yeah, big Frank. My grandpa, I come home every day from Maplewood, Miami, and WGN and beyond. So
Oh, yeah, the good
we
days.
listened to Hawk Harrelson, and I went to a lot of games when I could. So, definitely grew up a White Sox fan, and then as I, played and retired, I just became a fan of my friends and teammates and just the people that I met along the way.
Yeah, so I mean, those were the good days, man. That was when the White Sox were balling, though. That was like what, Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko,
Yep.
Pruszynski.
Actually faced Pierzynski and Konerko. It was more like the Ozzie Guillen, Frank
Wow.
Thomas. I mean, I remember going all the way back to like Chad Kruder and Jack McDowell and Wilson Alvarez. So yeah, it
Yeah.
was a lot of baseball in our household as Parkers.
Who are some of your favorite batters to pitch against in the majors?
Favorite, like that I dominated, or favorite that just was
Both. So,
like,
like, which
yeah.
ones were you like, look, I gotta strike this dude out. Like, I just gotta strike you out, bro. Like, who are
Yeah, I
some of
mean,
those people?
you always raise your game when you're facing the Pujolses and the Trouts, and you deploy your nastiest stuff, and that's kind of those are the guys you raise your level of game to. One of my fun facts is I punched Jeter out looking in Yankee Stadium. He did the old Jeter hands up, and I got the called third, which like. It doesn't happen often. If Jeter takes, it's a ball. But I punched him out looking in Yankee Stadium. Always had really good numbers against Josh Hamilton, just for throwing the changeup. Like Kipnis got me a couple times in Cleveland. I struggled with some of the switch hitting, like slap guys that would just stay up the middle. They're not going to damage you, but they're going to go 3 for 4 or steal second, steal third. Like those kind of guys got to me a little bit. But, like I said, it's always fun to raise your game facing the Trouts, and those Texas lineups that I face in Oakland were pretty stacked.
Man, had a fun career face them. You're talking about Hall of Famers that you got to go against. I know that has to feel good to even be able to bring that up. So you're doing all these things. You've done all these things. So what, I mean, I know you're comfortable right now with the Phillies, but what are some other things maybe in the future down the line? We're still young, man. We're not even, we still got a few years till we're 40. So like, is there any other things that you may want to accomplish in the baseball field, maybe in the next few years or even just down the line?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to work my way up in this game, whether it's in the front office or on the field. Was fortunate to be a part of the National Stars expansion initiative with John Lord, Dave Dombrowski, Dave Stewart, Alberto Gonzalez. So kind of like seeing the other side of the game from the, I call it the executive field. That seeing it from that side of it really piqued my interest of like, there's a lot more than, making millions playing or, really impacting players. It's like, maybe I get to move the chess pieces around and really like, create organizational value and put everything into, put everything into play and just create, really good farm system. And then obviously it filters into the big leagues and you depends on where, what city you're in. You get to spend a lot of money on free agents and bring players in and wheel and deal. So there's that. And then for my injury history, there's always an avenue with Dr. Andrews and some of the stuff that's coming up through of like, how to prevent injury, how to be a part of some of these like, IMG academies that are baseball specific, just, always keeping my ear to the ground on some of that stuff and would, be more than fortunate enough to get a part and be a part of some of that stuff.
That's dope, man. So definitely more of an executive more than analyst.
Yeah, I mean, I
No MLB Network for Jared, huh?
no, I don't know, man. It does interest me, but it's like I don't know. I'd rather just kind of be behind the scenes. I'd rather be the offensive coordinator than the quarterback sometimes.
I like that. You've always been like that, to be honest. So
Yeah.
that doesn't shock me. But something else I wanted to bring up too before we got out of here that I'm very passionate about that we share. So you've been playing a little backyard baseball, I see.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, bringing back the good old days.
Yep.
So, how is that? Gotta feel the nostalgia factor playing that, a game that we grew up on.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to see like when games return to a different system or you get to play it again as an adult. And, I don't have a ton of time for playing video games now with, we do a lot of, we do actually a lot of work computer wise with our reports and, kind of getting stuff deep in analytics. But, when I get some free time, I'm clicking on there or I'm, yeah, I got plenty of hobbies that keep me entertained.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as busy as you are, I seen you tweeting about backyard baseball. I was like, yes, still playing it just like me. I thought I was the
Yep.
only one, man. I was like, I
No.
can't be the only one still playing this, man. I found, and I can't say still because it's not like I've been playing it. They just brought it back. So
Yeah.
I thought that was super cool. Maybe there's a way for us to play online or something one day or so.
Yeah,
Find a way to go ahead.
definitely.
So yeah, man, very excited for everything that you're doing. I would say good luck to the Phillies, at least on the National League side. But I'm sorry if you make the World Series and you face my Mariners. I'm sorry, but good luck.
That'll be some air miles added up going to Seattle to
Oh
Philly. So heck,
man,
that wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings.
yeah, get that timeshare ready.
Yep.
So yeah, man, good luck with everything. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I know we are still very supportive of everything you're doing. You're still talked about, obviously, around here in good ways, positive ways, because you're a role model in the baseball community around here, and you always will be. And me personally, very proud of you, obviously playing against you, playing with you, and still doing great things and giving back to baseball. So appreciate you, man, for coming on, making time for us today. I know the playoffs are getting started. So I appreciate it, man. Keep doing what you're doing and stay in touch.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the kind words and thanks for having me, dude. It's always good to reconnect and kind of be a part of Fort Wayne culture and just ultimately, parents are still there, so it's always home for us.
That's right. One last thing too. Any advice for kids coming up? I interview a lot of high school kids, that play ball. Any advice for them as they're, as some of them get, college offers rolling in, even MLB scouts, any advice for them?
I mean, my motto was never be satisfied, just like no matter what you're doing, like there's somebody out there working harder. There's somebody out there putting in the time. And, it's as old as the quote is, like, if you're sitting there comparing yourself to others, it's like, that's the thief of joy. And that's just kind of like what's going to not necessarily like help you get to where you want to go. Never think you're working hard enough.
Absolutely, man. I love the part you said, the th biggest thief of joy, comparing
Yeah.
yourself, comparison. So great stuff, man. Appreciate it and keep in touch, man.
Awesome, dude. Thank you.
Thank you, man.